This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. As a warm embrace of summer envelops the Northern Hemisphere, we've had the privilege of conversing with remarkable individuals throughout this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. And on today's episode, we're going international as we head up north to Canada to speak with our first hiking couple to come on the podcast, the husband and wife team of Zach and Allie. You can follow them on Instagram at henderson.adventures. During our chat with Zach and Allie, we chat about the amazing Banff National Park and all the other amazing places in and around Alberta. Zach and Allie share with us about a challenging hike that took 8 hours, but they were told it was only going to take 2, and how they since reclaimed that hike by completing it multiple times. We also learn about the magic of ice skating across Lake Louise, and how the southern Alberta landscapes share similarities to southern Utah and northern Arizona. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guests, Zach and Allie. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. We're going international today on this episode with some amazing guests, Zach and Allie from Canada. They're going to be talking about my absolutely favoriteest national park, most beautiful place I've ever been to, and that's Banff, along with other places up in Canada that are just equally as gorgeous and impressive. But thank you, Allie and Zach, for joining us on the podcast. You know, we always like to start off with our guests by asking them how they got started hiking and how long they've been hiking for.
So we've really got started recently, maybe in the past 2 or 3 years. We actually are from Ontario, Canada, originally, which is known for its natural freshwater lakes and waterfalls, but no mountains in Ontario. So we moved out to Alberta in 2020 and 2021. And yeah, that's when we really kind of started getting into hiking the mountains and exploring the natural beauty around us.
Thanks for having us on. We're really excited to share about, you know, our backyard, what we love about Banff National Park and the surrounding area.
I got to admit, you know, I'm jealous of your backyard. And for those people that haven't had a chance to visit Banff or Alberta, because Alberta has just so many beautiful national parks, how do you describe your hiking landscape in and around your neck of the woods?
Well, for the most part, as you're driving out of Calgary. So again, we are living out of Calgary, and it's only around an hour and a half drive to get into the heart of Banff National Park. As you're driving along Highway 1, yeah, you're just suddenly immersed with mountains all around the side of you. You're driving through Kananaskis, you're driving through Canmore, you're driving through a beautiful landscape of just, you know, mountain peaks. Especially in the winter when you get to see all of the snow caps on them, it's just a beautiful, beautiful sight.
The first half an hour, you're staring at the mountains going into them, and then the next moment, they're surrounded on all sides of you, 360 degrees. And that's amazing. Just coming, we live downtown Calgary, so we live in a very urban area. And then in an hour and a half, we're in nature. It's gorgeous.
It's kind of funny, too, if we have people visiting. And when they start to see the mountains, you immediately see their cameras come out, their phones trying to take pictures from a distance. And we tell them, hold up. just wait. You're going to be surrounded in just a couple more minutes. So if you can hold off, you can save your phone storage.
No, that is true, because we came from the south through Idaho and then up into the national park through the southern entrance. And it was the same thing. We made the mistake of stopping like every 5 minutes because we were like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. And then once we got closer to Banff, the town, it was like, we wasted all that storage on beautiful mountains, but it just kept getting better and better and better. Now, you guys are based out of Calgary. How's the hiking in and around the city of Calgary itself?
Well, there's a lot of parks around, a couple of provincial parks within the city itself. Calgary is large geographically. I would say, though, with the mountains so close by, we don't explore the parks in Calgary nearly as much as we do the mountains.
Yeah, I mean, to add on to that, though, like Calgary itself is really invested in the infrastructure for, you know, outdoor lifestyles, mm-hmm. like biking, like running, especially along the waterfront. We have the Bow River that runs directly through the heart of Calgary and the Beltline, that, you know, you can basically take that path all the way to Banff. The Bow River runs straight through Banff all the way through to Calgary and then some. You see lots of people going on strolls along there. There is quite a decent amount of elevation across that path too. And then you can also go over to Fish Creek Pond, lots of biking over there, lots of internal trails there, lots of paved trails too. You've got Nose Hill Park up in the northwest that you see lots of mountain bikers. See people from all ages going in and out, and it's amazing. You can hike, you can bike, you can do whatever you want. It's nature.
Oh, right on. You guys have a little bit of everything. This season, we've had a couple guests that have met their significant others on the trail. Is that something that you guys shared? Did you guys meet on the trail or off the trail?
So we met when we were students in school in university in Ontario. And so we met off the trail. Something that really brought us together, though, I think, was just our love for exploring the outdoors. We went for lots of walks as broke university students. We used to live very close to Niagara Falls. So we went to a lot of parks in that area. When we moved out here, we were married, and we actually did our honeymoon all surrounding in Banff and Jasper National Park. So we met off the trail, but we do a lot of, I think, growth together on the trail. And a lot of connection, I think, has come from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right on. Lots of fun. Hiking has been it's been a big part of our story too, especially after the last 3 years of, you know, pandemic, closing, COVID, you know, when you can't really gather together. When we were married at the time, but we lived in separate households. So our only real way of connecting was connecting in the outdoor nature. So we would just take lots of long walks along waterfronts, you know, forests, wherever we really could.
Do you guys remember the first official hike you guys did together? And how was that experience?
I would say probably our first hike out here was in 2020. We were not prepared, is what I will say.
Not at all.
We didn't have hiking boots. We didn't have the proper gear. As much as you can hike.
Well, let's just say we were also led under the impression that this was an easy hike that would be no longer than 2 hours. We didn't need to bring food. We didn't need to bring extra water. But hey, we'd be able to just go and grab lunch afterwards.
Lo and behold, that hike took about 8 hours, and we had a liter of water to share between the two of us.
We were miserable. It was a long day. And we had just driven across the country to come to Alberta from Toronto. It was fun.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, as much as we loved going out into nature in Ontario, it's relatively flat. Compared to out here.
Nothing prepares you for the elevation.
No, until you get there. Yeah.
Oh, so true, guys. Because for me, it took me like 3 days to get adjusted to the elevation, where like I just had a nagging headache. I didn't sleep too well. And it wasn't until like the fourth and fifth day where I finally got adjusted to it.
With that hike, though, that we did, we have kind of taken it upon ourselves to take that experience back. Per se, we didn't like how this hike had such a negative sense in our mind. And that since we started hiking and doing it a little bit more seriously, we decided every year since then, we are going to do that hike and reclaim it back.
And it is a fantastic hike. It is fantastic.
In hindsight, it's one of the better hikes to do in the Kananaskis area. And we will do it every year going forward.
No, you guys read my mind, because that was going to be my follow-up question, is if you guys had an opportunity to redo that hike. Is it truly a 2-hour hike like people had originally said? Or
No. Not an 8-hour hike. That's just because we were not prepared the first time. It's called Death Ridge in Kananaskis, which is kind of the backcountry hiking. So there's not many people on the trail, which is really nice about that hike. And it's a ridge hike. So once you're up there, you're up in the mountains, kind of looking around for a couple of hours. But overall, maybe you could do it in 5 hours.
If you're taking it on a leisure approach, yes, around 5 hours. Mm-hmm. The sad thing about it for us is that when we were going for it the first time, you're seeing people doing scree running. You're seeing people trying to trail run the entire thing, get their personal best. And we're out here with like 1 liter of water amongst the two of us dying. Like, and it was a tough, tough time. And you see people sprinting up and down that hill. I'm like, you guys are crazy.
Well, going through your guys' feed, you have definitely elevated your hiking experience, especially within the national park. How has the experience changed since that first hike, hiking in and around Banff?
Yeah, I would say last summer, we got out almost every weekend. Living in Canada, you obviously have to get used to the different seasons that we have, especially in the mountains. We have snow up until June in the mountain peaks. The biggest hiking season is from May to October, and we try to get out every single weekend that we could. I think we missed two.
Yeah, and so, that was just because we were visiting family and things like that.
Yeah.
But to Allie's point, when it comes to the seasons and, you know, making sure that you are prepared for the conditions, let's just say that I am very stubborn when it comes to the equipment that I have, the equipment that I choose to use. Currently, I still use my brother-in-law's old hiking shoes. They just managed to fit. They work fine for me. I don't use poles because why would I use poles? And only recently we had just gotten spikes for hiking in the wintertime. And that has been a huge, huge dramatic change to how much easier a hike can get when you have traction. We did a hike last year for Allie's birthday. I think it was Opal Ridge, right? And the majority of the top summit was just covered in snow. We were going in like waist deep snow with no crampons, no spikes, nothing like that. And you don't really plan on getting sunburnt when there's snow out, but we got incredibly sunburnt on that hike.
It's weird to be up on top of a mountain in so much snow, but also being able to get a sunburn, but also the wind blowing super fast. It's you experience a lot of types of weather. Mm-hmm. In a couple of hours.
And even too, we use the All Trails app for most of our kind of like pre-hike research, seeing like how other people experienced it going forward. A lot of them may or may not include the type of shoes or if they use spikes, things like that. So when we had just gotten married, we had decided to go to Lake Louise, right in the Banff National Park there for one of our first hikes. And we decided, okay, we're going to do this. We didn't have spikes. We didn't have crampons. So when we got to the part just past the Lake Agnes Tea House, there's another section called the Big Beehive, which is a bunch of kind of relatively steep switchbacks. And going up was fine, but going down was terrifying because we were just sliding down the switchbacks. No real way to stop.
Oh, boy. And I'm glad you mentioned Lake Louise, because I think that is definitely one of the crown jewels of the park. But there is just so much diversity within the national park. How would you describe the other trails besides, you know, the ridge hikes and the lake hikes? What else does the national park have to offer?
Yeah, I think something that's really huge, we haven't actually done it yet, something that we have on our list to do this summer, is there's a town right before Banff, that's called Canmore. And a lot of people who like to bike will do the Legacy Trail, which is a paved path from Canmore to Banff. How many kilometers is it?
It's around 30
kilometers. And a lot of people will start in Canmore, bike into Banff, grab a bite to eat, and then bike back. So it's something that we're hoping to do, but that is a very big feature that a lot of people get out and do each summer.
Even in like the winter times too, like there's lots of waterfall hike things like Johnson Canyon, one of the more well-known kind of touristy hikes that they've got there. They've developed a walking trail that's almost attached to the side of a cliff face where you're basically walking in between. It's kind of like the valley, like the river is running through it. You come up on a couple waterfalls. There's the upper and lower falls. And if you continue to go on past that, you can go to the ink pots, which is another just wonderful, it's just beautiful, right? Like the things that nature can do. But when you get there, you're just surrounded by a giant valley, a valley of mountains around you where you're so surrounded, so secluded. It's just amazing what is around you. I know that we're also planning on doing Heart Mountain in the near future, where there is a natural hot spring on the mountain too, where you can hike up to it and then
jump in. And have wow. views around you. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Is that, you know, within the town of Banff or close by, or is that further?
It's close by. I don't think it's in Banff.
It's on the way to Lake Louise, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll have to add it to the list because I did the commercial hot spring in Banff
right.
when I visited. But to be able to do a natural hot spring, it's a little different. And I think it adds to the beauty of the mountains and the scenery.
The Banff hot spring, they kind of make it seem like it's a supernatural thing, but it is very, it's like a pool.
Yeah. Yeah, same. I thought there was going to be like natural rocks that kind of make it seem like it was set in nature. But when you go in, it's like you said, it's a pool with, you know, a bunch of other people there. You can swim. You know, it's nice when it gets cold. I will say that. Yeah. When it's cold outside, it's nice to sit. And it has a really great view as well. Now that you guys have had, you know, some time to explore the national park and the surrounding areas, does each of you have a memorable hike within the last year that you have enjoyed specifically?
Well, okay. I'll share one of my, it's a great story because of the experience. However, you weren't on that hike with me. When I first moved out here originally to Alberta, before we got married, her sister and her sister's husband, they took me out on a hike. And essentially, they said it was not that big of a deal. Again, I get roped into all these hikes where I'm very underprepared, right? Again, I don't know what elevation is. If you look on our page, most of our hikes are anywhere between the 500 to 900 kind of meters of elevation gain. This hike that we did was Grotto Mountain, and it was 1,600 meters of elevation. And I was nowhere near prepared for it. I just remember getting to the top and just laughing because there is no way on earth I'm going to be able to get back down because my legs are absolute jello. And when we're going through, I got blisters everywhere. My shins are on fire. My quads are on fire. Overall, like when I respond and explain it like this, it sounds like I had a horrible time. But looking back on it, it was one of my favorite hikes because of the experience, because of the time spent with my future in-laws. It was great.
Yeah. And then for me, I would say that South Lawson Peak is one of the best hikes out there. It's in Kananaskis. Again, it's not in Banff, but it's a relatively easier hike from the ones that we have done. Elevation is 700 meters and it's secluded. It's not busy. That's the really nice thing about hiking outside of Banff is in Kananaskis and Canmore, a little bit less busy. You're a little bit more surrounded by nature and not so much everybody else on the trail. And you get really good views of both the really stunning blue lakes that Alberta is known for and the mountain peaks. I would say the best time to do it is right about now where there's still a little bit of snow on the peaks as well. It's fantastic.
It doesn't hurt that we also try to do that hike four different times before and couldn't manage to do it because of the conditions.
Yeah.
We would get there and it's just snowing sideways, blizzard. You can't see anything. Like as much as we would have loved to do it, we would have been miserable to try.
Oh boy. Well, Allie, I'm glad you mentioned the lakes because that is something that has just stuck in my mind since visiting is just the color of the lakes and each one is so unique. For me personally, my favorite lake that I saw up there was Pito Lake on the west side of the park. Do you guys have a favorite lake that you guys like to visit or that you've seen?
Yeah, I would say Moraine Lake is one of the most beautiful lakes that Banff has. It's stunningly blue and has a gorgeous backdrop of mountains in the background. However, it's been a lot harder to get to because it's become more popular in Banff. It's very close to Lake Louise, so a lot of people will try to see both, but the parking lot is small. And unfortunately, just this past year, they've closed it off to personal vehicles, and now you can only get to it through a parks bus that you have to book ahead of time. So it does limit the amount of people that are there, so you get a better experience with less people there, but it's hard to get to. But I would say Moraine Lake would definitely be one to visit if you can get to it.
Another couple lakes that I can kind of think of that we've shown your family around, some of our friends, is Lake Minnewanka. Right around in the town of Banff too, very close. There's kind of like river tours, lake tours that you can take on there. there. You can rent out boats, you can rent out paddle boards, canoes, kayaks, all those kind of things that if you wanted to explore even further into the lake, you can. There's also a bunch of hiking in and around the area too. So it's very choose your own adventure kind of thing. And then if you were to go a little bit further from there, there's Tujac Lake, where every time we've gone in the summer, we've always managed to find a wedding happening there. People will always just opt to get married at Tujac Lake because it's just beautiful. You can't deny the beauty and the scenery of there. Why wouldn't you want to get married around there?
And then, of course, Lake Louise is one to visit if you've never seen it. It is definitely more commercialized. There's a hotel right next to it. But if I could give any recommendation, the best time to see it is October. You're a little bit out of the tourist season. It's still warm enough. You're wearing a jacket, but it hasn't snowed yet. So you still get that blue lake. I do know that we've been there in the winter, and a lot of people are disappointed that they're not seeing a blue lake because it's frozen. And way less people. So October, I think, is the best time we've seen it.
Oh, good to know. And I'm glad you guys brought up the different seasons because being there so close, you can visit, you know, each of the four seasons that you guys have. What are some of the highlights that you have for each season in the park, whether it's spring, summer, fall, winter?
Yeah, I would say that winter and spring feel very similar when we hike just because there's still so much snow in the springtime. And depending on the season that we've had, last year there was still so much snow this time, and this year there's barely any snow left on the peaks.
Yeah, like last year, Sunshine, the ski hill, was open on Canada Day. They had some runs open.
July 1st.
People were snowboarding and skiing right along there. And I'm like, this is crazy. That never happens.
Yeah. So definitely in the winter, we opt more to do more snowboarding. It's a little bit of an easier thing to do. It's harder to find trails to do in the winter.
Not the biggest fan of horseshoeing either.
Snowshoeing?
Oh, snowshoeing. Yeah. Horseshoeing. Snowshoeing.
And then, yes, yeah, spring feels very similar to winter, but you don't have to have as much gear. And then I think summer is our favorite season. You can get out and do every trail that you want to. But the fall is also gorgeous for larches. Alberta has large season, which is gorgeous. Again, you have to gauge your timing because it's a very short window. And a lot of people who don't typically hike throughout the entire season, if they're going to hike, that's the time they do it. So some trails can get a little bit busier. You have to kind of get up early to get a spot.
Normally, we would try to get to the trailhead for around 8:30 in the morning. During large season, go earlier.
Yeah,
you really have to. There's one Pocatera Ridge that was very well known for its larches this past season. And I kid you not, right at like 8 a.m. in the morning, everything was packed. The main parking lot and then even maybe 2 kilometers in of just cars parking there. Everybody wants to get that Instagram shot.
That's funny because here in Washington State, where I'm based out of, it's gotten so popular that they call it Larch Madness. So instead of March Madness, they call it Larch Madness because you're right. The people that do want to hike, especially to see that short window of larches, they'll just, you know, line up the highways with cars trying to see them. And I feel like here in Washington, there's certain pockets and certain elevation that you have to reach in order to hit them. But I feel like in Banff, they're a little bit more accessible because you guys are already high up.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty similar. And like you can, as you're walking through for the hike, you'll see them when you're in the forest line, but then you don't even have to go very far to, you know, see them from a viewpoint.
No. And that's the really unique thing about Alberta in general. Coming from Ontario, you're basically at sea level in Ontario, and in Calgary and in Banff, you're about 1,000 meters of elevation already above sea level. So then when you get into the mountains and then you start climbing the mountains, yeah, you already have that elevation. So I think that's probably why we see the larches at the base of the mountains as well.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing that I'm jealous, and it's probably one of my favorite pictures from your guys' feed, is ice skating on Lake Louise.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit about that experience? Because it seemed like it wasn't too crowded that day that you got to ice skate on it.
Yeah. So skating at Lake Louise is something you can do throughout the entire winter. However, when we've done it, you know, in January and February, but we got there during wild ice season, which is when the lake is frozen, but it hasn't had its first snowfall yet. So you can skate the entire lake. Once it snows, you can't, then you have to wait for the park rangers to clear the snow off. But we were able to get that very short window. And there are some years where you might not get it. It might snow first. then freeze and you don't really get that chance. But last November, I think early November, we were kind of just checking online, seeing what people post, and we saw the lake was starting to freeze and thought, okay, let's try to get out there. We work during the week. We hope that we can get out there on a Saturday or Sunday, and we were able to do it. And I got to say, it was probably one of those, like, I'll never forget it moments.
Core memories.
Yeah, core memory for sure. The smoothest ice ever. And like you said, there wasn't that many people there. And I don't know, it was like skating on water because it looked like you were.
It honestly felt like a dream, right? Yeah. Like, there's nothing that really can compare to that. Just like, I've skated on hockey rinks before. I've skated on, you know, like the, you shovel out the back pond, things like that. But I've never, again, like you said, as smooth, as, you know, clear. Like, I truly don't know how deep Lake Louise is, but like, you feel like you can see the bottom as you are skating on it. Mm-hmm. And again, everything is do at your own risk, but like, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it just pinched me. I'm dreaming.
Yeah. And because you can skate the entire lake, it also helps with the crowds because everyone is so spread out on the lake versus mm-hmm. when they just have a small rink. Everyone's in a very small area, but we were out there for probably 3 hours. We just did not want to get off. It was so amazing.
Now I gotta ask, do you guys have your own ice skates that you guys take?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
I've been skating since I was a kid.
Do they have ice skates to rent there at Lake Louise that you know of?
Yes, I believe so. I'm not sure if they do in November because it is very much like stated skate at your own risk because it is earlier in the season. So we did know that the ice definitely was thick enough to skate on without anyone falling through, but definitely once they have it shoveled out, you can rent skates there, yeah.
Yeah, closer to where the hotel is, they actually do, like, they Zamboni, they treat it, they maintain, like, a whole hockey rink kind of looking thing. Sometimes, too, like, the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames, sometimes they will come down there and do a practice or something like that, mm-hmm. too. It's kind of crazy that they have that ability.
And what an unbelievable backdrop of the mountains and the glacier mm-hmm. as your backdrop, as you're skating. Definitely something that has moved up in my list to do if I do go back, especially in the winter, is to be able to do it. Even if I need one of the little walkers to help me because I'm not the greatest ice skater. But the pictures that you captured were just unbelievable, guys. Really looked like a winter wonderland out there.
Yeah.
Banff is just like the stepping stone to the Canadian Rockies for you guys. There's other impressive national parks just outside of Banff. Yoho, Jasper, like you guys have mentioned. Is it Kootenanny?
Kootenay. Yeah.
Have you guys had a chance to visit any of the other nearby parks?
Yes, we have. Definitely Banff is kind of our home base in the surrounding areas of Canmore and Kananaskis. We have gone up to Jasper once back in 2021 for our honeymoon. It was gorgeous. Again, it's a smaller feel. It's kind of nice in that way, a little bit less touristy. There was just as many beautiful lakes and mountains climb there.
Yeah. And if you are going to go to Jasper, we highly recommend that you take the Columbia Icefields Parkway. It is the most beautiful drive, scenic drive that you will ever do in the world.
Yeah, it's up there. The Columbia Icefield Parkway is ranked one of the best drives to do in the world just because it's 3-4 hours of beautiful mountains, 360. You're kind of going up and down parts of mountains, so you're kind of getting different viewpoints. Just make sure that you have enough gas and you have a spare tire just in case because you don't have any service as you go through. But it is gorgeous.
Yeah, and then other, you know, national parks around or even provincial parks too, right? Like Alberta has such a vast landscape in itself. Like if you were to go a bit east, you can find Drumheller, whereas the complete opposite of mountains. It's like a whole town in a valley, which is kind of like a big crater in the ground, right? Like you're driving and then all of a sudden you're going like 300 meters down into where like a river used to be. It's amazing because that's where, you know, the dinosaurs roam. That's where they found a bunch of dinosaur bones within Alberta. They've got Dinosaur Provincial Park around there too. They've got Dry Island Buffalo Jump just north towards Red Deer. It's amazing, right? Like the Rocky Mountains is just so vast, so beautiful. You know, we could hike every day for the rest of our lives and still not do everything.
Yeah. And then being where we're situated in Calgary and then going over to Banff, you're very close to the British Columbia border. So British Columbia also has those national parks that you're mentioning, Kootenay and Yoho. We haven't gotten a chance to explore much of it. We've seen Golden, BC. Mm-hmm. We went there for our anniversary back in October, but that's definitely something that's on our list, is to explore more of those trails out there as well.
Yeah. Oh, and even if you go down more south, there's Waterton.
Waterton Lakes National Park.
Yeah, National Park. And itself, it's really close to the Montana border, where that's where like they share all of that beauty. It's lots more lakes there too.
Yeah.
So
again, that's what we all would love to do.
When it comes to comparing like Jasper and Banff that you guys have been able to visit, you mentioned that Jasper's not as developed, but what are some other like key differences that you guys have noticed between both parks, whether it's landscape, trail systems?
One of the things that I really appreciated with Jasper is that they consider themselves a night sky observatory town, where they actually have within their bylaws certain lumens that they're able to have in their streetlights, things like that, so that wherever you are, you can always see the night sky as vibrant and stars as much as you can. It is a lot darker in Jasper that we found, and they do have a lot of astronomy type events there. You can take a gondola up to one of their mountains too. I forgot which one it was called, but
Jasper Skytrain.
Yeah, the Jasper Skytrain. And you can go up there and they have like a whole night event thing just to look at the stars. It's beautiful.
And what we were told too with this Jasper Skytrain is that the snow on that peak never melts year round. So you could be going up that Skytrain in July and there's still snow up there just because it's so high up. And the beauty of that one too is even though you take a Skytrain up most of the mountain, you still have to hike to get the true views, which we always appreciate that you have to work for it.
There is one hike in Banff that for most people coming to visit, they will take the gondola up Sulphur Mountain. There's a like a nice gift shop up there, restaurants. There's it's a nice learning area up there too, but you have the option to hike up there, and you definitely can tell who has hiked up the mountain versus who has taken the gondola up.
You see the nice shoes, nice clean shoes, no sweat, and even sometimes heels are up there, and we're like, I don't think they hiked up the mountain, which is great. It's people getting to experience that view, but it's definitely a very commercialized hike. We've hiked it to say we've done it, but it's definitely not our favorite just because it's interesting to get to the top of a mountain and find a gift shop.
and water.
Now, is there a coffee shop up there?
There is.
There is?
Yeah.
Well, Allie, you mentioned this, and it's something that I've seen researching more about Jasper, but because there's no services between basically like Lake Louise and Jasper, how much gas in the tank should you have before making your approach to Jasper and the Columbia Parkway?
A full tank. Yeah, it's I'm sure you could get away with 3/4, but definitely not something that you would want to get stuck in. Again, with the very limited service, you might see a bar on your phone every once in a while, but there's not really much you could do if you get stuck, except for call.
You'll pass some of those road signs that say no services for the next like 220 kilometers, or I guess 140 miles or something like that, right?
Oh, man. And you guys have mentioned it, you know, Banff has definitely exploded in popularity since I was last there almost a decade ago. For those folks that are interested in visiting, do you have any tips or advice for visiting hikers, and maybe when's the best season to visit?
Yeah, I would say that if you're wanting to experience Banff and the surrounding areas with less people, I would say September or October, coming prepared for it's going to be a little bit colder. But a big tip, if you want to see Lake Louise and you want to see Moraine Lake, those are kind of two of the big bucket list items that people have. Look ahead of time after you've booked your flights and book bus tickets to get to those. It saves you the stress of trying to find parking at Lake Louise. And now that you can't park at Moraine Lake, those tickets do fill up very quickly. And if you want to see those, which I would definitely recommend for a first-time visitor, book those tickets well in advance. Another thing that I think would be amazing if you get to Lake Louise is doing the Lake Agnes Tea House or even the Big Beehive, which is all part of kind of the same hike. You get to view Lake Louise looking down at it, which is also a very gorgeous view. Seeing that blue water. And again, there's a tea house kind of partway up the mountain. But the nice thing about that is they very much advertise like it's cash only. It's not, you know, this commercialized thing that Sulphur Mountain is. And people that work there hike this material up there to make the tea. And they don't serve coffee. They're like, we don't have coffee machines up here. All we can do is hot water with tea. So it's pretty cool to kind of find a little secluded tea house up there.
Yeah. And they don't do garbage up there either. You have to bring your garbage back down with you.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know. Yeah, I've seen pictures of people that have done the opposite end of Lake Louise, and it just adds another layer to its beauty. Because, you know, you mostly see it spot on from like the hotel.
Yeah.
But to see it from a different angle, it's something else. Mm-hmm. You guys have mentioned this, but, you know, outside of the national park system, there's some beautiful local parks in and around Alberta. What are some of your favorite parks that aren't national parks to visit or that you have visited?
Yeah, so I would say if we're still looking in the mountain range area, Kananaskis has so many different provincial parks. I can't even name all of them because they kind of all blend together. Peter Lougheed Provincial Park is kind of the major one in Kananaskis.
Bighorn Sheep Provincial Park.
Yeah, Bighorn Sheep Provincial Park. And those are some of our favorite trails to do because they are a little bit quieter and they've got their really good payoffs. As much as we love to look at the town of Banff from a mountain, it's also really nice to just look around and only see mountains. You don't see any type of development around you. And for those hikes, I would recommend Tent Ridge, which is amazing, and South Lawson Peak. Those are both in Kananaskis and just absolutely gorgeous with the views.
Yeah. And one of the hikes that we just did this past weekend was in Spray Valley or Spray Lakes Provincial Park. And that was called Ha Ling and Miner's Peak. And right there, they have recently introduced this thing called the Kananaskis Pass, where during COVID, during the pandemic, they realized, okay, lots of people are trying to get out and hiking. They're getting out in nature a little bit more. However, unfortunate with that, that brought a lot of, you know, people littering and the need for a lot more, I guess, observation, security in those senses of things. So they've added on a parks pass for that, which is now funding, you know, more parking spaces, which is now funding more trailed and groomed hiking paths for those that want to get out there. So there's a lot more maintenance being done on these hiking trails now. Ha Ling, they installed a bunch of these like rock stairs and wooden stairs on them too, which makes it a little bit more accessible to some, which has been great.
Looking east, Zach has mentioned Drumheller, Dinosaur Provincial Park. And something that's, I think, really well known here is, and I didn't even actually know that from Ontario, I didn't know that Alberta was well known for finding dinosaur fossils all those years ago. But that area is, they found like one of the largest complete T-Rex fossils. So it's become a very popular area to go and see the Badlands. It's kind of crazy in Canada that you can see mountains an hour and a half west and then Badlands an hour and a half east of Calgary. So we're right in the middle, which is kind of nice. You can go either way and experience something completely different. But there's a lot of education, I think, surrounding that. And it's really amazing to go and kind of learn the history of the Alberta Badlands when you go there.
Those Badland pictures that you guys posted definitely caught my attention. How was it hiking in and around those? It's not really rock, but, you know, just the geological features that are in and around there.
Yeah, so they have something that's called hoodoos that are very much protected. They, like,
put fences around them.
Yes, unfortunately, a lot of people were going up and touching them. And because hoodoos take so long to form, they had to protect them just from people's reckless behavior around them. But it is different. You don't really think, I mean, Canada, we don't have any provinces that are warm year round. You know, you go to the States and you've got Florida and California and all those southern states that don't really see winter. They say they see winter, but so to have something like that where you're like, this is so odd that there's still winter here, it feels like something that's kind of desert-like almost.
Yeah, kind of comparable to things that you might see in Utah or like Arizona area, like especially around that deserted area, like the Redstones, very similar.
And how far south of Calgary are the Badlands located?
They're like an hour and a half, 2 hours east.
Oh, so really close by.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely a day trip, right?
Yes. Yeah, completely a day trip.
Right on. You know, throughout your hiking experiences, especially in the last couple of years, is there a regular custom that you guys do when you reach either the summit or maybe when you guys make it back out of the trail?
Yeah, I would say that we try to get out early. We try to leave Calgary at least by 6 a.m. to get to a trailhead early. I think it's better to hike it earlier in the day. you feel accomplished, and there's just less people on the trails. What is nice, though, we have so much daylight in the summer that you could start at 2 p.m. and still get a full hike in, but we definitely go in the morning. We pack our own trail mix, sandwiches, or whatever we need, and yeah, we just get out there. We try to make it to the top as fast as we can. And we like to enjoy the view. I like to stay up there for an hour just to sit and look or take pictures, because you've done all that work. You shouldn't just start heading back down. You need to enjoy the view that you just earned.
And we may or may not have the occasional summit beer from time to time, but
yeah.
Well, worth it after some of the peaks that you guys reach.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, you guys have mentioned some gear along the way. Does each of you have a piece of gear that you consider your most valuable piece in your pack list?
Yes, I would say my hiking poles. I mean, hiking boots are very important. I think if you're doing it in running shoes, it's a little bit hard. But if you have, you know, decent hiking boots, it's my poles. I can definitely get farther with them. I find it helps me a lot just to remove a little bit of weight off of my feet when you've gone up that high. And then coming down also, it just gives me an extra point of contact. If it's specifically steep going back down, it helps me a lot.
If you've seen any of the photos on there, I do not have an appropriate or a proper hiking backpack. I found myself, I'm a big Blue Jays fan, and I also drink Budweiser. So the merge was perfect. They gave a free cooler backpack in the case of a 2-4. And I've been using that ever since. It keeps my drinks cold, keeps my lunch cold. It's not the greatest for my back, but it gets the job done. It was free. It came free with the beer that I bought. And hiking can be free, right? It's as expensive as you want it to be.
That backpack is also definitely a talking point on most of our hikes. We love, that's another custom. We love to talk to people on the trail. Just a lot of people visit Banff naturally. So we usually ask, you know, where are you from? Are you from Alberta? Are you from Canada? Are you visiting from somewhere else? And it's amazing to just get to meet people from all over the world. But a lot of people will comment on the backpack saying like, hey, you got some beer in there? Like, can I buy one off of you? Or whatever.
Put that not enough to share.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you brought it up, Zach, because I did notice the Blue Jay backpack in the pictures, and I wanted to ask you about it. But, you know, I feel like it's one of those things that's functional because it keeps not just your beer, but your food cold as well.
Thank you.
I give you props. Yeah. You know, one thing that was always in the back of my mind when I was visiting Banff was bears. It was one of those things where I was like, I want to see one, but I don't want to see one up close.
Yeah.
And we got a chance to camp at the Lake Louise campground. And it's the first time that I've been at a campground where there's literally an electric bear fence protecting you from all the bears. Now, in all your guys' time hiking in and around the park, have you guys had any close calls with either wildlife or maybe even Mother Nature catching you by surprise?
Yeah, so when it comes to bears, this is the time to see them just out of hibernation. We saw a lot last season. I think we've probably seen the same few bears in the Kananaskis area. Fortunately, every time we have seen a bear, it has been from our car. So they do definitely like have rangers. Typically, once there's a bear sighting reported, there's a ranger out there to make sure nobody's getting out of their car too close. Obviously, that would be a danger for people and the bear. But there's actually a well-known grizzly in the Banff National Park. His name is the Boss, and he has that name for a reason.
Rumor has it he's been hit by a train and walked it off.
Yeah, that's a rumor, but that's what people say. But he fathered 80% of the grizzly population in Banff. Wow. So he is indeed the boss. And
he's got a rival. His rival is called Split Lip, and they kind of run the Bow Valley together.
Yeah. He's tagged and definitely tracked by the people that work for the park. But
most of the grizzlies are tagged.
Yeah. And we have actually had shown up to some different trailheads last year where it said it was closed due to bear activity. We had to just take a different hike that day because of it. But there are definitely a lot of bears out there, but they're not very common to see on the trails. We've never seen one outside of our car.
In terms of wildlife, fortunately enough, we haven't really encountered anything too scary. However, cougars are they're pretty common around there. And if you don't hear them, they're probably still watching you. Yeah. So always keep your bear spray on you. Always, yeah. Especially in the less commonly traveled hikes, make sure you have your bear spray on you.
That, yeah, I was going to say that in Banff, you're not going to run into a bear nearly as much as you would in Kananaskis, just because Kananaskis is more backcountry. So the bears are a little bit more comfortable there. Of course, mm-hmm. they kind of steer clear of the town of Banff and the surrounding areas like Lake Louise, just because it's much more populated. But yeah, definitely have your bear spray for sure if you're doing a more backcountry hike. There's also a lot of mountain goats in the area. They'll just be running up the mountain. We've come in
or close, bighorn sheep, yeah.
Yeah, close contact to both bighorn sheep and mountain goats on the trail, but they're not that scary. They relatively stay away.
They're just kind of creepy looking. But when we went to Golden on our anniversary trip, we went to a wolf dog sanctuary where we learned a lot about wolves and the wolf population in and around the Banff area, as well as the Yellowstone National Park down in the States. But what the unfortunate thing is that a lot of the wolf population in the Banff area is struggling. It's hard for them to thrive in certain areas, whether it be, you know, due to the tourism that comes in there, people are interacting with them, or however nature kind of handles itself there. They aren't thriving as well as from what we heard. But yeah, the wolves are such a vital part to the ecosystem.
One other thing that I'll mention as well that I really appreciate that Banff has funded is natural overpasses. So in the actual national park, they have fencing along most of Highway 1, which is the main highway through Banff. Actually, the main highway through most of Canada. But they put fences all along there and it feeds them to natural overpass bridges to protect, again, both people driving mm-hmm. and the wildlife. We have yet to see one cross. I think they probably cross mostly at nighttime when there's less people around. But they're actually just building one, the first one outside of the national park in the Canmore area. That's under construction right now. But mm-hmm. it's, I think, an amazing thing for the safety of everyone.
Yeah. Also, how can we forget when we went to Jasper, we encountered an entire herd of elk while walking across the Jasper golf course. We're walking and we encountered maybe 30 or more like elk, and they were, you know, I guess in mating season or whatever it was. So you couldn't get too close. It might get a little bit hectic, but like we were surrounded. We couldn't go through the path without going through them. So it was very exciting. Amazing, but also terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, that was on our honeymoon that we saw them. So it was like 5 days married.
It's like, and no way we're dying now.
You know, we can cross all these elk. But again, it was super cool to see. But that was, I think, the scariest encounter because we were not protected by a vehicle.
And I don't blame you. Those things can get huge.
Yeah.
You brought up the animal crossing bridges on the highway, and that's something that definitely caught my attention when I got to visit. And it's funny enough, Washington State copied the idea, and we have one about an hour away from where I live, and it's probably the most popular thing for the Washington State Department of Transportation.
Wow.
But they have a camera that is located on the top of it, and every so often they'll share which animals are crossing.
That's cool. I wish they did that in Banff. That would be really cool to see which animals are crossing.
Yeah, it's mostly been like deer, elk, but every once in a while we've seen a cougar, coyote, and I think our first moose crossed over not too long ago.
Wow.
But talking about the animals, Zach, I'm glad you mentioned it, because when we crossed over on the southern entrance of the national park, we did see some creepy looking mountain goats. I don't know if it was like they were in between seasons and they were like shedding, but if I can find the picture, I'll see if I can share it later on Instagram. But they kind of reminded me of zombie goats because the color was a little off. Their eyes were a weird color. I'm colorblind, so you know, for me it looked red, but they could have been something completely different. But is it just like a seasonal thing where they look a little weird for a certain season, or is
I think that just them rough all the time? Like even like their eyes are kind of like on the side of their heads, so it doesn't they're not making direct eye contact with you. Their eyes are even like glossed over too, and it's like their buck teeth, they're just gross.
And there's one area where the longhorned sheep hang out, and it's kind of right at this junction on Highway 40, which goes through Kananaskis. And you can see up to like 20 or 30 of them just in the middle of the road causing a traffic jam. And of course, you're not going to try to edge on an animal with that big of horns that could do some damage to your car. but you see a lot of them.
Yeah, it's definitely, if you're wanting to see wildlife in as safe of a manner as you can, just driving through the park, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, we're recording this and it's halfway through 2023. Do you guys have any upcoming goals for the summer season and fall season? And maybe some upcoming goals beyond 2023?
Yeah, I would say our big thing that we want to get out and experience this year for the first time would be that legacy trail that we mentioned with the biking. That is something that a lot of people have asked us, have you done that yet? And we've been like, no, we haven't. Another hike that I really want to experience that I haven't personally done yet is the East End of Rundle, which is short formed for Eeyore. And it was closed last year due to trail maintenance and making a bigger lot just because it's a more popular one in Canmore. But it's a difficult climb and it actually looks at Howling Peak, which we just did last weekend. So I kind of want to be able to have both views of the mountains. So,
and then maybe like non-hiking related, we've always kind of thrown out the idea of whitewater rafting throughout the Canmore area. So that's always something that's kind of crossed our minds.
Is there enough guided services where you can do that? Or
Yeah, definitely.
That was it for the regular questions, guys. This next section of the podcast is the this or that questions. Yeah. I'm going to give both of you two hiking related topics, and each of you just chooses the one that they prefer out of the two. It's always fun doing it with two or more people because it's always interesting to see the differences and the similarities.
Yeah.
The first one is, do you prefer ascending or descending?
I would prefer ascending just because like that you have the goal in mind. You're always anticipating seeing the top. And by the time you start descending, you're already sore. You're already in pain.
Yes, I would agree. Mine would also be ascending. When you're descending, you're activating a whole different muscle group in your legs when you're already sore. So ascending, you kind of have that goal in mind of seeing views. I find once I get to the top, I'm ready to go back to the car, but I know that I have the whole second half of going back down the hill. So I would also say ascending.
I've got relatively weak knees too, so having to bounce down is not the easiest.
Yeah.
So this next one, I think I know the answer, but you guys might surprise me, but summits or waterfalls?
Summits.
Definitely summits.
We've had our fair share of waterfalls, especially living in Ontario. We live near the Niagara, St. Catharines region for our entire schooling. So when you see Niagara Falls as the epitome of what waterfalls really is, it's kind of tough to compare.
Yeah.
Now this next one is, do you prefer switchbacks or straight up?
I would rather go as straight as possible and just get it over with. Switchbacks, while yes, they have a purpose for them, we find that they're relatively kind of, there's not much of a view when you're in the forested area, but.
I would agree. I would do straight up. As much as I kind of like a longer climb to kind of have a less steep ascent, I do like just going straight up, a little bit more straight into the point to get to where you want to be.
Howling was perfect for that because there were stairs.
Yeah.
Now, I think you guys have always shared the responses to this one, but this might be the first one where there's a divide. Trek poles or freehand?
Oh, trek poles. Nice. Trek poles for sure. I cannot hike a steep mountain without them now. I feel significantly less sore when I have them because it's just an extra point of contact and something to help me.
Yeah, I'm more freehand. Yeah, I'll just go with the flow. Just float down the mountain if I could.
And this one's a new one, guys. When it comes to the footwear that you guys use, are you guys hiking boots or trail runners?
I would say that I'm more of hiking boots. I would love to get into trail running, but I don't really like running. So definitely more of the hiking boot and doing the slower way to get up the mountain.
Yeah, I like hiking boots too. I've sprained my ankle a couple times, so I want to make sure that I'm prepared in the event of another one. So yeah, avoiding trail runners, right. No ankle sport.
And this next one, it comes about the trail systems or the trails that you guys do. Do you prefer loop trails or out and back trails?
I would personally say, as much as one of my favorite hikes, Tent Ridge, is a loop, I personally like out and back. My sister and I have gone back on this. She likes loop because it's used the entire time. I like out and back because now once I've gotten to the top, I know exactly what I'm facing on the way down. And I know kind of approximately how long it will take.
I'm more go similar, but I wouldn't turn down a loop.
Yeah.
I like the new experiences as you're going through.
And this one could be a little challenging depending on the season for you guys, but when it comes to bodies of water, do you jump in or do you stay dry?
That's a tough one. It does depend. Alberta has mainly glacier lakes, so it can be a big shock to the system to jump right in.
A very big shock to the system.
Yeah, we're used to having the Great Lakes near us. Lake Ontario is like right near my hometown back in Ontario, but it's cold, but it's not glacier lake cold. So jumping in is definitely something that's kind of nice to do the end of a hike if there's like a river nearby or a lake nearby, but I would say it depends on the day.
I will say that I'm very easily egged on. If someone dares me or questions if I would or not, I am most likely going to. My brother-in-law is often the person to do that to me. He has convinced me to jump into the glacier lakes on multiple occasions, and I've hated him for it every time, but no regrets.
Yeah,
I would agree. So when we visited, I didn't jump in, but my friends did. They jumped into Lake Louise and everybody looked at them like they were crazy. But I did jump into Pito Lake, and by far the coldest I've ever been in my life. But it's one of those memories, like you said, it's a core memory that will be with me forever.
Yeah.
This next one is tough because I enjoyed both of them when I was visiting. So it'd be interesting to see what you guys think. But when it comes to sunsets or sunrises, which one do you prefer?
I would say sunrise. You'd have to get out there pretty early to see the sunrise this time of the day because the sun is rising around 5 a.m. now. But I much prefer to see a sunrise and kind of have daylight on my side on the way down versus the sun setting and then kind of starting to panic with losing sunlight.
Yeah, I'd pretty much follow the same way too. We're more early risers when it comes to hikes. Haven't really done much backpacking where like, okay, we're going into like, you know, we have a tent set up somewhere backcountry. So we haven't had to deal with that too much. We don't have headlamps. Yeah, we haven't really done too many early morning hikes like that yet. But yeah, I think more for the sunrise.
Right on. And this is another tough one because you guys get, you know, the best of both worlds. But spring flowers or fall colors?
I would say fall colors. With that, again, living in Ontario, you have lots of maple trees. You've got the red, the orange, and the yellow, which is gorgeous. Out here, you've got the larches. So a different type of fall, but both beautiful. And I would definitely go for those colors versus the flowers, I think.
Yeah, I think when you consider the season of spring and the season of fall, I find that spring is a lot more wet than fall. So to me, it's a little bit more of an enjoyable hiking experience. And it's usually a little bit like you're coming out of the summer. It's okay to be a little bit cooler, not as sticky and gross. So it's nice. I prefer the fall colors too.
And then for the last one, guys, do you tag a hike or do you not tag a hike on social media?
So we're kind of more in the camp of sharing and not gatekeeping the trails we do. We really like to share what we do, but however, that has brought more popularity to hiking, which does cause, you know, the crazy crowds of larch season and the amount of people that go and see Lake Louise and the commercialization. So it's a little hard in that way, but I'm always in the camp of encouraging people to get out there and enjoy the things that we enjoy and sharing that, our favorite trails.
Yeah, like I agree. And like at the end of the day, the Instagram page that Ali started for us was really just to be a, you know, a photo collection, a diary, or, you know, just a way that we can look back on our memories of our hikes. We thought about doing like a very like a physical photo album kind of thing, but it's a lot more, you know, simple. It's an ease of access kind of thing. And you've gotten a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
So building that has been a lot of fun. And you know what? We just want to share our love of hiking with everybody that we meet. So.
And it's an amazing way to connect with people too. I mean, that's how we got in touch with you. And it's really fun to kind of connect with people who experience very different views from us. We don't, you know, have the Utah hikes that they've got, like all those red rocks and beautiful, and we don't have the Grand Canyon, but we've got mountains. So it's kind of fun to discuss with people online the different hikes to experience in North America and around the world.
Yeah, I am greatly appreciative that you guys share, because your pictures show just the diversity of the national park and just the beauty it has to offer. And, you know, it is one of those things where it's a challenge because it does bring more people to the area, but the individuals, if they can get out, they should enjoy the outdoors just as much as anybody else.
Totally. Absolutely.
So, and especially Banff, I know it's just skyrocketed in popularity, but it's still, to this day, I've said it at the beginning, but it's still the most beautiful place I've ever visited.
Yeah, and I would love to just share with people, you know, here are the things that you should do. Here's the things you should do if you have 2 days. Here are the things you should do if you have five. Here's the things you should do if you have a week. And so people aren't wasting their time or money on things that we don't think are as worth it experiencing a lot of those popular things that have been kind of shared online.
Yeah, we try to be pretty honest with our reviews of the hike. So
yeah,
our rating scale is very subjective, but it's us.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. And if folks do want to follow you online, what are some of the places they can subscribe or follow you on social media?
Yeah, so we're mainly on Instagram, henderson.adventures. And that is kind of the main place that we connect with people about hiking. That's kind of where we both have our opinions about the trails. That's kind of where to connect with us.
We don't post TikToks, we post reels.
Yeah.
Well, it has been an awesome time chatting with you both. And it's something that I hope in the next year, I get to revisit Banff and just see those beautiful places again. And it's been great getting a chance to reminisce a little bit by talking to you guys. And I'm excited to see what the summer brings for your hiking season.
Thank you so much. Thank you for meeting with us today. It's been so fun to talk about the thing that we love to do.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been a great time.
And that brings us to the end of this episode along Zach and Allie. We extend a heartfelt thanks to both of them for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow their adventures on Instagram at henderson.adventures. And don't forget to check out the episode show notes for all the important links we discussed today. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the summer, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday, with occasional bonus episodes on Friday. To ensure you never miss out on any thrilling tales, remember to hit the like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram, at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. A special shout out goes to our incredible audio editor, Alex, whose exceptional skills and dedication help bring each and every episode to life week after week. Thank you, Alex, for your invaluable contribution to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. This episode's music was created by Ketza. Follow him on Instagram at Ketza Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.